says Satan entered into Judas, and from that time forward, he began his dastardly deeds. Absolutely. After Satan got Eve disguised as the serpent, he got Adam wearing the garment of his wife. Smart. He knew there was no guarantee he'd get Eve if he got Adam. He sure as hell knew he'd get Adam if he got Eve. Problem with life is figuring out which Eves are going to be susceptible to Satan. Whether you know it or not, you women got a better deal than the men. Satan will come to you with some disguise. All he has to do is get you, and the man's got. He was not in the open in the Garden of Eden. He did not for a moment suggest that man should fall down and worship him there. Not for a moment. But he did ask Jesus to do that. What he said was, this is how he got Eve. He didn't tell her to fall down and worship him. What he said was, please yourself. Let it sink in. Fulfill yourself. Find yourself. Be what you can be. There's better for you than what God provides. Please yourself. Campbell Morgan didn't say all that. I'm ad-libbing. Any of you women ever been tied to a man that wants to please himself? And the answer is yes. To disaster. Any of you men been tied to a woman who wants to please herself? We're supposed to please God. And then he will please us better than we can please ourselves. He did not suggest that man or Eve either should fall down and worship him there. What he said was, please yourself. He suggested that man, Adam and Eve, should leave the first principles of their life as the devil had left his. Jude calls them wandering stars who've left their first habitation, is the King James, estate, is more accurate. He wasn't satisfied with being the crowning cherub in the mountain of God. That couldn't satisfy him. He looked upon himself. He was in Eden before he fell. And Isaiah describes the picture. Looked upon himself and saw how beautiful he was. He said, I'll be God. He departed from his proper habitation. And that's what he tried to get Eve to do and succeeded. Is not that departure from your proper habitation, your placement that God intended, the primal sin? please myself, climb higher. There's something out there better for me. That's the primal sin. We have a phrase that talks about midlife crisis. I can get away with talking about it because I'm well past midlife. Even at my 120 aim, I'm on the other side, 65. You ever seen a fool man in a midlife crisis? Seen his youth going and just chasing it? A woman in her midlife crisis, seeing her youth going and chasing it, walking backwards, ass forward, the true asshole, parading it like a periscope. Looking back, instead of understanding they're on the stretch to eternity, yielding to the primal sin, please yourself. Is not that the sin? I'm back to Morgan now. He didn't say any of what I just said. Is not that the sin of Lucifer? The son of the morning? Is not that the heart and center of all evil? Self-pleasing? The devil hid himself. So he does today. In the Middle Ages, the devil was portrayed by artists as with horns and hoofs. If you paint him that way today, no one will know him. Marie Corelli, in her Sorrows of Satan, gives her last picture of the devil going into the House of Commons. He goes to church, too. If he ever makes any appearance in London, this is Morgan preaching from Westminster Chapel, if he ever makes any appearance in London, that is London, that going into the House of Commons is far nearer the truth than the horns and hoofs. That's part of his strategy, part of his subtlety. He is hiding today in half our theology and in half of our newfangled philosophies. Twist God's word, make God serve self. I've never seen anybody get off the track that they don't have a distorted, quote, spirituality. I've seen people take messages I've preached and turn them and twist them as instruments of darkness to justify their self-serving way. If you've ever heard anything that I teach for 18 years, it's all based on this. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. He that saveth his life shall lose it. He that loseth his life for my sake and the gospel shall gain it unto life eternal. Don't take anything I teach and make it a rationale for I gotta please myself. You are turned over. You are, as Romans says, when you know better, worshiping the creature rather than the Creator, and God will turn you over to a strong delusion and you will believe a lie and be damned. We're told today that man, back to Morgan, has to fight against the beast in him. That there are angel and beast in him, and that if the angel in him will fight hard enough, he will trample the beast under his feet. Morgan had false preachers in his day, too. Now, there's an element of truth in all that, but what has turned man into a beast? Lurking behind the flesh, making it the medium of his suggestion, is the devil. Once, I say, he was dragged into the open. Just once. And advisedly, I say dragged. If the devil could have escaped that ordeal, he would have. Jesus was driven of the Spirit of God into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. At least the devil didn't have any choice. God made him go there to tempt him. Led of the Spirit of God into the wilderness while being tempted of the devil. God dragged the devil out into the open. It is an appalling picture of the subtlety and power of the devil, but it also reveals the fact that all the artifice and subtlety of the devil is helpless when a man stands square in the will of God and makes it, the will of God, the master passion of his life. Take that story of the temptation and consider it carefully, and you will see the limitation of the devil. He has only three avenues along which he can ever approach the citadel of man's soul, and they are all revealed there in that temptation. The real enemy that we have to fight is not the beast in us, but the devil behind the beast. It is not the flesh in the world, but the devil's misrepresentation of the world. The God, quote, the God of this world, the Scripture says, hath blinded their eyes. The arch enemy, the master enemy, the one real foe of their religious life is the devil and all the hosts that he commands. Are we to be defeated by this foe? The apostle in the passage I read to you from Galatians, or rather Ephesians, recognizes the conflict. Our wrestling. You know, I've taught on that, Polly, one-on-one. It's a very definite conflict. We are to put on the whole panoply of God. We are to stand, to withstand, and having done all, to stand. So that victory is possible according to the apostle's outlook. If you ask me the way of victory, I take you back again to a passage. Submit to God from the New Testament. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. How many times have you heard just that part, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you? Well, text out of context is error. The whole text says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submit is first. There's a deep reason for this. It gets down to the root of the whole matter. The devil's sin was rebellion, and his method with man is to propose rebellion. And the moment a man submits to God, he crosses the devil's plan and purpose. The idea is that of a soldier. Submission is the first law of success in warfare. There can be no ultimate victory save under discipline and submission. Then resist. After you have submitted to God, there will be conflict. But the conflict will be under orders, under the command of one who knows every method of the enemy, who holds in his own hand the reins of ultimate government, so that the conflict will no longer be in unexpected places. God knows. The man who is really submitted to God starts out to real difficult conflict, strenuous fight. But he's under the command of one who is never caught unawares. It ain't going to do you any good to resist the devil if you don't submit to God. I can tell you right now, a non-tither, never going to get anywhere resisting the devil. You're not submitting, going out the gate on the most fundamental principle of recognition of God's ownership. Thought I'd throw that in. Campbell didn't say it. You're under the command of one when you submit who's never caught unawares. He knows the whole field, the whole plan of the foe. He never lost a battle and never will. Whose soldier never will, so long as he obeys. So long as he follows the assertion of Scripture, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That is the way of victory. I cannot add anything to it. Learn anything, get on the telephone.